dive as deep as we can in 20 minutes into this Georgia and Texas keys to the game, as Randy's not going to be with us tomorrow, and then all next week you'll be on vacation. So really pick Randy's brain to the extent that we can in 20 minutes for this football game coming up on Saturday between Georgia and Texas. And then Jimmy Lake, the Falcons defensive coordinator, is going to join us at 12:40 as well. So a very football-packed 12 o'clock hour for you. Probably moving away slightly from the topic of the last hour.
No, but I tell you, Andy, you know, my kids, whenever there's them trends or whatever, it is something dumb as hell. I text them all, and I tell them, hey, you do this, we're going to have a problem.
Just to let them know.
Just let them know.
Yeah.
If I ever hear a child with one of my children doing something like this, and it's a new one that came out. And my boy sent this to me yesterday. It's a little league football. You know when you're in the line, clapping hands, good game, good game, good game.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. My son, and the only one that does that now is Sims because he plays football. And they got this new thing where if you, because you know me, if you beat me and you want to talk trash to me, I got no problem with it because you beat me. But you ain't finna just humiliate me and embarrass me.
Yeah.
So these kids are walking down the line and taking belts and smacking other players on the ass. They call it belt to ass challenge. And first of all, who is your mama and your daddy allowing you to do that?
Yeah.
And your damn coach. All right. And so I had to Google and look at it. And all the, and I'm just like, and y'all let them do it. And then, so this is what I told Simpson. I told Simpson last night. I said, come here. I said, you heard this? He said, no. I said, come here, look at it. It's on site. You know that. I said, if I ever catch you doing this.
Yeah, it's going to be a different challenge happening.
I'm going to harm you right then and there. I ain't going to wait till you get home. And I said, I'm going to harm you right then and there. All right. And I said, if somebody does that to you, it's on site. That is the most disrespectful freaking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Who coaching this and whose parent is allowing their damn child to do this? What's funny about that?
Not funny. Also, it would hurt.
What
like,
is funny about
ridiculous.
That?
Ridiculous.
Like, I'm looking at these kids. At these kids allowing somebody to hit them on the belt after you beat. Why ain't you punch him in his face?
That's the thing. Like, if it happens once, then there's just a big brawl between both teams. I would think.
Then let's brawl.
Right. You beat me at Little League Baseball, so now I have to also allow you to hit me in the backside with a belt?
No, brawl.
That's not what's going to happen.
No, let's brawl.
The worst when we were kids.
I was like, are you serious?
Every once in a while, like a really bad sport kid would spit on his hand, and try to shake hands. But that would be a fight, too.
Yes.
Like, that's disgusting.
That's what, dude.
They happened in the Oregon-Ohio State game. The kid spit in his face.
He needs his all I know is this. A real man probably wouldn't let him be the only one kicked out of their game. That's the most disrespectful.
So bad.
It is. There's nothing. I mean, this is the worst thing. Then a man. What goes through your mind to spit on that dude?
Right. That's my side of it. It's like, yes, getting spit on. You think about being getting spit on and what you would do. But it's like, what leads to you? Was that something you've done before?
Exactly. And
is that like a plan?
I love Dan's face. Dan Lynn looking like, what's wrong with you?
Get out of here.
Exactly what he said. It wasn't no pushback. Dan Lynn looked at that boy like, the hell is wrong with
you? I don't know if you noticed this either, but then the kid that had got spat on, when they kicked the other guy out of the game, because he must have said something, they were going back and forth, whatever, he kind of started to pump up the crowd. He was like, I got him. And the ref was like, hey, man, maybe don't celebrate getting spit on and then not punching him in the face.
He got spit on. Because
like, he started to, and the ref kind of grabbed his arm and was like, don't do that.
You're a little dumb.
Don't do all that.
Well, I tell you.
Yeah, don't spit on. Remember, didn't Roberto Alomar spit on an umpire back in the day, like right in his face?
Yes.
And that was like a big question as to whether or not he'd end up getting in the Hall of Fame because of that and all those sorts of things.
No,
it really is awful.
He would have went to the Hall of Fame lumped.
Plus now, post-COVID, like,
yeah,
you're spitting
on people, man.
You're not even supposed to sneeze in public
anymore. Andy, I was so mad. I was like, what is your mom and daddy or whoever allowing your coach? No, Corey, your coach is allowing you to do this? Get the hell out of here, man.
Come on.
Get the hell out of here.
Step your game up.
Get the hell out of here.
Step your game up, people.
On site.
All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour.
I don't even know what he said.
Interesting.
I don't even know what you said.
Bo just gave me some very interesting alternate uses for those dolls in my ear. We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
We'll get back to it later in the show. We got important football to talk about now, but I hadn't thought about that. Very savvy. Get a peach pass maybe, but whatever. It's all right. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's hear Bijan talking about the run game.
Yeah, just continue to just keep that, mindset of like, physicality. We gotta be more physical than everything that we play, and we gotta start that obviously in practice. But, for us, like with the O-line that we have and you know, just how much they take pride in, you know, being dominant and being more dominant than the defensive line that's on the other side, but then even just the front seven that's on the other side, like, you know, we really take pride in that.
I'm going to tell you something, watching those two runners play, they are my, I don't watch in depth, I watch this team more in depth than most teams. The way those two pick up blitz, Andy.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, Andy, they meet you in the hole. They don't wait for you to come. They see you coming, and they're decisive, and they go meet you in the hole.
They initiate the contact.
They initiate the contact.
Bijan has rattled some bones.
Yes, he has.
This year,
yes,
with his,
he has,
pass blocking,
man. Yes, he has. And you watch a lot of these plays. It could be the deciding factor where Kirk Cousins gets the ball off.
Sure.
I mean, they've been so good at it.
Well, it's also cool with him because that was such a knock on him coming out, and he struggled with it at times last year, too. Like, you very clearly see. All right, that's something he spent a lot of time working on this offseason.
Yeah.
Algiers is such a big guy, such a physical guy. He's really good at it too. But yeah, you're right.
That,
man,
was, you know, that was big. That was that was Saquon's problem when he first started. Could do everything in football, but could not. And it wasn't even necessarily not identifying who he has. He just couldn't do it.
Right.
He didn't have the proper technique to do it. And a lot of times the technique is cool. Man, just go hit him in the face, like, because like Coach Locke used to tell us, you got to pop that blanket pill. And all I need is that one good stone. You stone him. And that you amaze how much time that is for a quarterback to get the ball up.
The other great thing for him is just from a tipping your hand to the defense standpoint too. Like, if Bijan's on the field, you're running the ball.
Yes.
Not now. Yes. Now if Bijan's on the field, you might be using him in pass protection as well.
Good point.
Versus Tyler Algier early in the year too. Like, they're getting a little bit more creative with how they're using him, and he's on the field for more stuff. Like, felt like the first three or four games of the year, if Tyler Algier was on the field, they were handing him the football.
Yes.
Like, he might have played 15 snaps and had like 11 carries.
Yes.
Like, all right, well, you're kind of telegraphing what we're doing here. So they've been able to get a little bit more diverse with that as well with these guys as they've grown. And that's all vital and incredibly important. But if those guys can, they're not going to run for 200 combined yards every single week.
Yeah.
But if they can run as hard as they did, and if they can be as effective in the red zone, because that's what it was against the Panthers. All three of those touchdowns they scored were hard-fought red zone runs.
Yes.
That's something this team has struggled with for as long as I've covered it.
But we remember, I mean, we had Dave on, they're talking about Arch, and when we were talking about when the red zone struggled, what did Dave say? Run the ball.
Run it.
Run the ball.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
If the threat to, because obviously everything condenses for the passing game.
Yes.
Run game.
Run the ball.
It's all right there. It's
run
all
the
at, the,
ball,
at the line of scrimmage. If you can still run the ball in the red zone, it also does open up things for the pass as well. But yeah, man, love seeing what they did last week. Would have think that there will be a lot of that available against Seattle, just kind of given how banged up their defensive line is and where their linebackers are right now. But you can pass on them too. So we'll get more into that game tomorrow and keys to the game and all that kind of stuff. Here's Rob Gronkowski talking about the pressure now that the Jets and Devontae Adams have in New York.
New York, Devontae Adams, pressure through the roof. Biggest city in the world. Media attention through the roof. I mean, he better perform or else him and Rodgers are going to feel it.
I love it.
Is
I love
this,
it.
Like,
I love it.
Is it getting stronger?
I
like his accent?
Man. I love it. I love it. That's why I love Gronk. That's why I love Gronk.
He sounds like more of a meathead every time I hear him.
That's
it's
why
great.
That's why I love Gronk, man. But
he's right.
He's absolutely great. And Aaron Rodgers said as much. You know, it's all on us and everything. And, you know, he's going to play this weekend. And the familiarity because of all the reps they had together, him and Devontae, it should be it shouldn't be that big of a hiccup as far as putting him into the game with Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, how can that help Garrett Wilson? And how can that help? I mean, that's what you're looking at, Tay, as somebody who a force multiplier. And so, I mean, you got the new coordinator. I thought it was a lot better. I thought it did some different things last week than they've been doing in the past weeks also. And so, you know, as long as your defense is going to – their biggest issue is they can't protect him. Tyron Smith has given up 6 sacks, I think, so far this season.
Yeah.
Not playing well at that left tackle. And so if they can't do that, I think – I know he's the big addition. But the biggest addition will be letting Breece Hall run the ball more. I think that'll help this offense a lot more.
Yeah,
let him run the ball.
They need that run game to go for a lot of different reasons, especially to keep the D-line honest. And look, man, T.J. Watt is the next opponent.
Yep.
They got that Steeler. We saw what that defensive line can do when they know you're going to throw the ball, or even if they don't know you're going to throw the ball. Those guys are incredible. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin really quickly, as that is a part of this matchup, talking about his quarterback decision.
Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times. But not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. And we got a player with talent. We hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. Justin has been an asset to us, man. Last week, for example, man, his ability to utilize his legs by design and by ad-lib was a significant component of that game. He rushed for 50-plus yards and two touchdowns in game. And so we're appreciative of that. We're appreciative of how he's taking care of the ball. But we're just looking at all the people at our disposal the same way that we do at any position.
Yeah, I mean, Justin came out today and said he has not played well.
Yeah.
He said, no, I didn't play well enough to keep the job and everything like blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're going to miss the leg part of the component of it. And is this one of these things where let's just see. We're good enough record-wise that if we can go back to Justin if we need to. Now, I don't think that's Mike Tomlin's thinking. I'm looking at it from a standpoint. And because it's Mike T, you might give him the benefit of the doubt. But I look at it as Mike T like, okay, yeah, you see those routine – those intermediate plays that Justin just can't seem to get done. I know we got the run and we get the big play and all the – we think Russ can make those plays.
Yes. I think you just look at the overall offensive operation and it's like, okay, it's been good enough to get to 4-2.
Yes.
Against who?
Yes.
Obviously week one, right. Kirk Cousins, where we didn't even score any touchdowns. Bo Nix.
Yes.
Taylor Heinicke.
Yes.
Because that's where Herbert got hurt. And then Aiden O'Connell. Like, those are the wins, right? They also lost the Cowboys, aren't any good, and they lost to the Colts. So – you dig deeper into the 4-2, maybe you understand why they're a little uneasy with how they've gotten there, and we'll see. I also wonder, because we talked about it when Justin Fields wasn't going to be the starter week one, if they're going to have wrinkles for him.
Yeah.
Still might.
Yeah, exactly. Still,
I mean, that leg part of it.
I agree with you, brother. Yeah. I don't think they're going to take that out of the game plan. He's going to come in and do some.
Yeah.
But then,
still
because he's been so the starting quarterback, you can still put package in there to throw the ball also.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to some keys to a victory for Georgia over Texas. I'll tell you one of them. The Falcons drafted it. He plays for them. I'm not talking about Michael Penix. There's a different guy who played the last time Texas lost. Unfortunately, he's hurt, but we'll get into all that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Hour number two brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. In 20 minutes from right now, Falcons defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake is going to join us. I think kind of going for, because I know we had Zach Robinson on last Thursday at this time. I think we'll have Marquise Williams on next Thursday, the special teams coordinator. I think we're going to have a different coach on Thursdays at this time, which is great.
Yeah. I mean.
Or at that time.
At that time.
20 minutes from now.
I mean, yeah, you get an opportunity. Just, I mean, they're not going to divulge game plans or anything like that.
Dang
but,
it. Not if we don't ask. If we ask good enough questions,
yeah, I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, they're not going to divulge
game plans. You think we can get Jimmy Lake to threaten our jobs?
It depends.
I hope not.
I mean, we can say something out of, like, if you bring up Washington.
I'm not going to bring that up.
Yeah, you might say something.
I'm not gonna, there's nothing. He doesn't want to talk about it even more than I don't want to talk
right,
about
right,
it.
So right.
We're good.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you know me. I got you back. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, no.
Yeah.
He had great times at Washington, too, because he was the defensive coordinator on the team that went to the college football playoffs. So
oh, he was there.
There was some good time there also. We'll just focus on the good times.
How about that?
You know,
how about we do that and everything? But yeah, I mean, it's always interesting because a lot of times, you know, organizations, I don't know how often they let you get coordinators, you know, as far as, you know, going to the press. Like, you usually coach one voice for the whole damn team, mm-hmm. and a player or something like that. But yeah, that's always
it's a new day.
That's always a new day. And I thought you wanted the audio, and hope maybe we can get it played later on in the show. But the Kirk Cousins at the podium, man, and. Because I know one of our listeners sent it to it, mm-hmm. and I didn't even look at it. And then I was like, let me finish doing something. And I clicked on it. And when he said that, walk in your trap and take over your trap.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, Andy.
So
me too. Loved it.
Me too. I love it for a lot of different reasons. Just sort of continues that path of, like, Kirk Cousins is just – he loves being Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
And he should. Like, it would be great if everyone loved themselves and being themselves in their life the way that Kirk does. It's helpful when – anyway. But, like, yeah. Do you think, though – my only question about it was because he said, as one of my former teammates used to say, do you think that he thinks that his teammate coined that phrase? Or do you think that he knows that his teammate heard that in a song?
No, he thinks his teammate made that up.
Yeah, he thinks his teammate made that up.
Yes. Yes, I believe that.
As my former teammate used to say.
Yes, as my former teammate used to say.
Can we just play it since we're talking about it right now and Bo has it?
Please,
play it. We're going to use it a little later. We'll get to the Keys
because
to Georgia.
I just want to hear him say it.
Yeah, here's Kirk Cousins.
My teammate used to say, walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Yes.
Is the line he would say.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what it is. You go into someone else's stadium and you try to assert yourself. That's what everybody's trying to do when they go on the road. It's hard to do, but that's certainly the goal.
He knew. Unless, what's the name? What's the guy's name? Moneybag Fresh?
Bankroll Fresh.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless Bankroll Fresh. Yeah, him. Unless he was a Viking. did he?
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Did he play for the Vikings or the Commanders?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, so it seems like. But it to me, Tim saying that, it sounds like he thinks that his partner.
Yeah, whoever his teammate was that said it, he thinks he's the one that said
yes.
it.
Yes.
Which is
awesome.
It is awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome that he wouldn't know, and it's awesome that even though he wouldn't know, that resonated with him. He's like, you know, that's a great mentality for going on the road in the NFL.
You think Kurt knew what a damn trap is?
Walk into your trap, like, take over your trap.
Right, because if he didn't know the song, then he wouldn't know the term.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, it's not like he's listening to other songs that have trap in it.
You can call it Kirko, whatever you want to call him. Kurt ain't never been no damn trap.
Nor has he used that term other
Ever.
Than there. Like,
Ever.
Which is fun. Do you think he asked him? What do you mean? What's the trap?
I hope he did. I really, really hope he did.
That's what I was curious of. If he tried to explain it to a reporter. So a trap is like a house. We're going to go in there and we're just going to take it over.
You think he did that? With somebody like, oh, Joe Patrick? Kirk, can we get a follow-up?
Yeah, can you clarify that statement? What's that meant?
Walk into your trap. Mm-hmm.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
I love it.
If, like, DJs still, I don't know, I've never really been to a situation where there even would be a DJ that would do something like this, but, like, do DJs still do a thing where they'll play, like, an audio clip or whatever as, like, the drop, and then the music will start
I'm sure they do.
That?
I'm sure they do.
There's got to be a DJ locally that would use that and then actually play the song.
Oh, man.
That'd be a pretty...
Play Kurt and then play the actual song?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Or replace the lyrics in the song with Kirk Cousins?
Oh, hell yeah. Walk into
your trap, take over your trap.
That's what... DJ...
there it is right there.
The DJ is Bo. DJ... DJ Clifton over
Walk
here.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
he already
yes,
did.
Yes,
oh, that's yes, so great.
Yes. Yes!
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Yes! I love it.
Oh, man.
I love it.
That's very good.
I love it.
Very, very good. And again,
I love it.
Maybe that's the thing you use in the stadium on Sunday.
That would be rocking it.
Because the reason we started talking about that song was you were giving Georgia and Sanford Stadium suggestions for maybe some slightly more modern music that they could play to get people fired up. You're like, hey, here's a song I like, and then it perfectly bled into Kirk talking about it. And
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
I love it. I love it, Bo!
See, these are the kind of fun Kirk Cousins things that can happen when they're winning.
Yeah, exactly.
When he's winning, this stuff is wonderful.
Yeah,
hopefully they continue to.
Hell
now, that's what Georgia's going to try to do on Saturday night, right?
Yeah, man. They got, I mean, the fast start is, I mean, it's paramount. And I'm not saying they can't come back like they did against Bama. Not going to say that. I'm not going to say it. Because I didn't think there was no way in hell they were coming back from that. You know?
And they didn't win.
I mean, but they came back.
They came back too late. Had they not been down 28-0, they probably would have won that game.
Yeah, absolutely correct. I just think, you know, my thing, I got fast start on there. I'm saying, like I said in the Alabama game, Carson's got to be the best quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Carson's got to be the best quarterback. And get a special touchdown. Was it interception return, fumble, or something like that. And I want to see Anthony Evans, the punt return. I want to see him get the ball more often. Mm-hmm. I want to see them, because this kid is shifty and everything like that. I would like to see them get the ball to this young man. Run the football. I'm not saying they were sandbagging last week, but I don't think it was an attempt to run the football effectively. So run the football.
Yeah, and the thing for me is it's so hard to really, like, correctly analyze what Texas is so far this season. And that's not to take anything away from them. They are incredibly good and deserve to be number one, and probably will be in the college ball playoff when the season's all said and done. But they just haven't been tested the way that Georgia has against Alabama. Right. And even, like, even Clemson's playing really well.
Yes, they are.
Obviously, Kentucky has shown their grit. They beat Ole Miss. Like, they're a tough football team, and they went on the road and played them. Texas hasn't played anybody even close to those teams.
No, they haven't.
So it's hard to know exactly how good certain aspects are. I think you can just eye test it and know that their pass game is very good.
Yes.
You know Quinn Ewers is really good.
Yes.
You know those receivers are dynamic and they're going to be able to have that. I think you know the run offense is pretty good. It's not as good as it might be if those guys weren't hurt, but they're still, I mean, their rush offense efficiency is it may be the one thing that isn't up to snuff as far as who their team is. Georgia is better than them at running the football through six games.
Right.
Hopefully that can be true on Saturday because, obviously, as you said, run the ball with those two guys would go a long way in terms of clock management, time of possession, all opening up the pass game, all that kind of stuff. There's probably other areas where Georgia has an advantage,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard to know because Georgia's played such a tougher schedule than Texas has.
Correct.
But whatever those advantages are, you got to exploit them on Saturday.
You got to be able to. You got to be able to run the football. You need chunk run plays too. That was the thing that we were told going into the season about these running backs. They were, you know, they go back to the DeAndre Swift and Todd Gurley and Sony Michel, those big runs.
Yes.
Let's get on these perimeter and get blocks because a lot of times big runs happen because your receivers are blocking what out.
Mm-hmm.
So can you find a way to get that done? Can Georgia strike? Kirby, he said it so much. Can you strike, protect the edges, and keep everything in that box? Can you keep everything in that box? Because that's what Georgia's do. That's where they can do their damage, but they're in that box right there. But they can't. 13, you was top five projected.
Mm-hmm.
Need to see it.
Yeah, because that's the key. Like, Texas had a great offense last year, too. Washington was able to do some things offensively against them in the playoff game. Washington was able to do some things offensively against everybody for the most part.
Right.
The reason they beat Texas and got out to that big lead was because of what their defensive line did. They couldn't run it against them. And Braylon Trice, who's now a Falcon, unfortunately injured, was in that backfield repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude absolutely destroyed Texas's game plan for the first 40 minutes of that game. Now, they adjusted. Kalen DeBoer also did the thing that Kalen DeBoer does when he has big leads. He just went conservative and stopped doing all and stopped sending Trice and some of these other guys. Well, he's not the defensive coordinator, but you know what I mean.
Started playing zone.
He started playing a lot more conservative, and Texas fought their way back into it, much like Georgia did against Alabama, who's now coached by Kalen DeBoer earlier in the season. Which, by the way, Bama fans, like, just that's what it's going to be. Like, you're going to win most of them, but it's not going to be comfortable like it used to be.
Right.
Kalen DeBoer is a high-wire act, man. I don't know how he does it, but that's what he does, and that's what a lot of these games are going to be, and I think that's what the Tennessee game is going to be on Saturday as well. But back to Georgia and Texas. Like, if you can make Quinn Ewers uncomfortable, you can make Quinn Ewers look mediocre.
Yes.
Like, and teams have done it.
Yes.
Not a lot lately, and no one has done it this year.
Right.
Obviously, he's been hurt for a couple of these games, but that's the key. Like, Georgia has elite athletes on both sides of the ball. They just have to show up. In terms of the pass rush, like we're talking about here, you brought up a great point. I haven't really brought it up since, I don't know, week two maybe or three. The thing Georgia has always done great that didn't get talked about a lot because there's so many other things they did great is their receivers blocked the hell out of it. Like, the run game is so well blocked by the receivers. Not this year. Mm-hmm. Not really.
I don't think there's been a game that I have not tweeted about somebody on the perimeter missing a block.
They just missed a block. Like, these guys were so good at that over the last couple of years. And also tackling in space, like, on defense.
Because you're going to have opportunities.
They just haven't done it this year. Like, those are hallmarks of Kirby Smart teams. Great blocking on the perimeter. They're going to wrap you up and tackle. Obviously, there's going to be athletes that make plays. But a lot of that, like, foundational stuff just hadn't been there yet this year. And it's possible that they just don't have it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
I don't want to admit that.
You don't want that to be true.
You don't want that to be true.
If they have it, it's going to have to show up on Saturday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to win.
They got to play their best game. And I think they will. I think they will because I have to believe they will. Because what the hell am I going to watch it for if I'm just thinking it's going to be the same old dogs? Because if they can't win this game by being the Georgia they've been this year.
Mm-mm.
They cannot.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot. And maybe it's who they are. This team is not better than they were last year,
mm-hmm.
obviously, because of who's not on the team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But damn it, just like you said, they still got some eliteness.
Yeah.
They still got some dudes.
Yeah, they don't have to be better than they were last year.
They just got to be the dudes, your dudes in these games. Remember we said this in the Alabama game, and I said it after the game. I said, their stars showed up when they needed them to. Mm-hmm. Georgia's stars got to show up.
Yeah, no
their
doubt.
Star players got to show up.
Malachi Starks has to be better.
You
talked about those edge guys. They have to be better.
Yes.
Carson Beck has to be great
in
order to win this game. And I'm with you. I think they can. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to come down to some decision-making in the fourth quarter for sure. And I think that's a huge area where Georgia has an advantage because I think Kirby is the better coach. But, man, it's going to be fun on Saturday night. We'll come back. Jimmy Lake is going to join us. He's the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get his thoughts on his side of the ball. Maybe some – we're going to ask him about the pass rush. We'll see what he says coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20, an hour away from the AMA. But right now, as we will be at 12:40 for the foreseeable future on Thursdays, joined by a member of the Falcons coaching staff, the Falcons defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake joins us. Jimmy, how are you?
Coach!
Hey, great. How are you guys doing? Andy and Randy.
Great over here
doing
as well.
Great. Doing the week.
Good to hear from you. I was just kind of looking at some of the history. First of all, my mom is also a graduate of Eastern Washington, so she'd be I'd be remiss if I didn't say something about
that. Go Eagles,
exactly.
Has she seen the red field in person?
No, she hasn't seen it in person. We've seen it on TV.
I haven't either.
She said it hurts. It hurts her eyes.
I've only seen it on TV. Someday when I'm free in the fall.
Beautiful Cheney, Washington. Not a lot of people have gotten the privilege of going to Cheney, Washington. But
am I missing something?
Tough place to play. You're definitely missing something.
Me and Jimmy have both been there, so you should go. But you played safety back then. What's it like coaching a safety duo like this?
Oh yeah, no, it's incredible. And I've been fortunate to be around a number of talented safeties, but. It is no match in my 5 years of coaching. The combination of Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates III, it is a lethal combination of ball awareness, ball skills, their smarts of getting everybody lined up, disguised to really make the quarterback uneasy, and then their tackling ability, and of course their ability to get the ball back, punching the ball out, which Jesse has done already throughout his career.
Jimmy, I want to go back when Rod gets the job here in Atlanta and he comes to you and asks you to be his defensive coordinator. What did you see as far as the personnel when you said, yes, I'll be the defensive coordinator, and what you needed to add to make this a good defense?
Oh, yeah. I was so excited. So I was in my house in Los Angeles and accepted the role and then started to watch film right away, which that's what us coaches do. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to watch the film. And I'm seeing 11 players hunting to the football with bad intentions, tackling well, hitting, striking, getting off blocks. I saw a defense that was hungry and flying around, and that's the type of defense that I have always been a part of, so I was extremely excited.
What kind of a two-parter here? What part of this defense has been what you've expected it to be thus far through 6 games? And then on the flip side of it, what part of this defense do you feel like isn't where you want it to be yet and you'd like to improve upon?
Yeah, I'd say the first thing is our guys are extremely like all in and what the plan is. You can hear the communication throughout the building when we're in meetings, when we're on walkthroughs. It's really at a high professional level, and I love the communication that we have all 3 levels of our defense. Playing extremely cohesive. And they've stayed together. This the National Football League is the elite of the elite, and we know we're going to be facing tough offenses week in and week out, and tough matchups. And we've been able to weather the storm. Teams have made plays on us, but then all of a sudden we've had the ability and the resiliency to bounce back and play well down the stretch and close out games. And I'll say, the things that I think that we need to work on, it starts with me, that we got to do a better job of is, we haven't played the run as well as I would like to play. And it starts with me making sure our guys are in position, make sure they're understanding the scheme so we can get, offenses in those third and extra long, and then we can actually really get after the quarterback.
Jimmy, when we talk about this pass rush, because I think that's a big thing that a lot of us are talking about, the 5 sacks and 6 games and everything like that. What do you see as far as while you're up there in the booth, or I don't know if you're down on the field, calling this defense? Are you guys getting close, or is it, you got a mobile quarterback here, or this guy gets the ball out fast? I mean, what is it from your point of view that you're seeing about this pass rush?
Yeah, no, it's a combination, and I'll say this: our process has been correct, or the way our players are preparing themselves with the game plan, the way they've been putting their work in the weight room and out on the practice field, and then going out to the games. The process has been correct, and we've been extremely close, just like you just mentioned. We've had a lot of just close, and all of a sudden they get rid of the ball, or just close, and then it's an incomplete pass. We've had a bunch of quarterback hits, not necessarily the sack production and the numbers that say it on the paper that you had a sack. And so we're on the right track, but now we just got to continue with our process, which our guys are doing, and we know that those results that people like to see on paper, where it actually says that we're getting the sack, are going to eventually show.
Hey, Jimmy, how do you get prepared as far as your defense for those different types of quarterbacks? Like, you got a Justin Fields, and you coach against Jalen Hurts this year, and Baker Mayfield, and how do you go about approach calling your defense when you got to play such different style quarterbacks?
Yeah, and that was probably another part of the question before, right? In terms of what the type of offenses that we're facing. Those first 2 weeks, again, it goes back to limiting the run on first, second down. But, once you get down that, now it's third and three, third and four, mm-hmm. and you have Justin Fields, and you have Jalen Hurts that has the ability just to run quarterback zone reads, quarterback run games, quarterback counters, a lot of, college-style offenses, really tough to defend. Right. From a defensive standpoint, it becomes a lot more difficult to really pin your ears back and go get after a quarterback thinking it's going to be a pass, and now all of a sudden they have a quarterback design run and they're gutting you for a 10, 12 yard gain for a first down. And so, that was a little bit of the first lull of not very many sacks in the first couple of weeks. But again, if we're better on first and second down and we get them in known passing situations, it's third and 12. Now you can't really run that quarterback, zone read play. And so it really goes back to being better on first, second down, so we can get the offense behind the chains, and then we can really pin our ears back and get after the quarterback.
Falcons defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. It's been cool to see Rook Arororo get on the field the last couple of weeks. What has he done from the beginning of the season to get on the field, and what does he need to do to stay out there for you guys?
Yeah, so excited for Rook. He got here. We saw the talent in drills and, out in OTAs. We saw the movement. And then once we hit training camp, it's just been a constant, steady growth and improvement with Rook. We get out to preseason games and, he plays okay, made a couple plays here or there, but then had a lot of things to clean up. And to give him a ton of credit, he cleaned those up. I get a lot of credit also to Jay Rogers and John Timu, his position coaches, who have really been bringing him along every single week. And so, those first few weeks there, when he wasn't active, he's on our scout team going against our offense, and all of a sudden we start watching the film, and we're like, whoa, look at Rook. He's causing a lot of havoc against our first-team offensive line here. And then it became a point where we're like, it's time. He's grown. He's grown in his technique, his fundamentals. He's understanding. He's catching up to the pace of the National Football League speed. And then sure enough, he goes out there his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, man, he played so well, played so physical, violent, tackled well, made some splash plays. And you're just going to continue to see a constant state of growth and development with Rook. He's got the right mindset. He's got the right position coaches, and I'm excited about his future.
Hey, Jimmy, I always ask anytime we get an opportunity to interview any coach of the Falcons, my favorite Falcon is Grady Jarrett. And talk to us about what it's like coaching a guy like that, because he does seem, he's got hurt last year, seems like he's looking like Grady all of a sudden.
Oh, man, what a leader, an exceptional leader for our defense and for our whole team, really. When I first met him, he was still, coming off of his injury, and he was on a separate practice field going through rehab with our performance team, and I would always pop over there and talk to him, and you could just see the look in his eye, the competitive fire. He couldn't wait to get over on the field with us and start, working on his craft and working on the scheme and catching up with the scheme. And now that he's in, all the way in from training camp and the preseason games to now, just his spark, his tackle for losses, his leadership, his passion, his fire – the way the guys rally around him, it's really exceptional and amazing to be around.
Tell us the, if you would, the story behind Clark Phillips going down before he got to the, because I'll be honest.
I'm going to Sco, Jimmy.
I would have scored a touchdown.
I'm going to Sco.
But it, from what hear, it sounds like he was listening to his coaches. Tell us the story of how that happened.
Awesome. I'm going to Sco, Jimmy.
Oh, boy. Okay. Do I want to, no, I think it's, it's fun. And so here's the straight scoop. You guys have been so great. I'll give you a genuine, honest answer.
That's
what your listeners want to hear as well. So we were up by multiple scores there. And so I had the same reaction that you guys probably had. You know, I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Clark's going to pick this thing off. He's going to go score. And then he goes down. And then I'm like, okay, he went down. That's a good thing to do. You know, the game was already in hand. Now we can kneel the clock out. And, we just had some of our coaches were like, hey, they were reminding the players, hey, if we get a turnover here, hey, just go ahead and get down because the game's going to be over, which they are correct. And because especially if that was a one-score game, he needs to immediately go down right now because there's been some horror films of guys trying to score there or go, and then they cough the ball up, and then now they get the ball, and then, the offense has another run at it. And sure enough, usually when that happens, it's like giving up an extra out in baseball. And, next guy's going to hit a home run. And so Clark did the classy thing. It's not right or wrong. But I will say I had the same reaction. I was like, he's going to score. Oh, he didn't score. What's going on? Oh, okay. I get it. But, hey, I don't know if I would have done the same thing if I was in his shoes. If I'm in his shoes, I think I'm housing that thing and going to celebrate to the camera.
Oh, me too.
I'm going to score.
I would have been dancing in the end zone.
I'm going to score. I know we got real quick, got about a minute left. Jimmy, could you talk to us about this team, this opponent you're playing against as far as Seattle? We know they throw the ball a lot, got big play wide receivers. You're thinking about, I mean, I know you're not going to give us a game plan, but your thought process as far as defending this team.
No, so this is an explosive offense. Number one pass offense in the National Football League. They're putting up records right now, through six games. There's a lot of talk right now about, hey, they want to balance out and they want to run the ball a little bit. So, we'll definitely got to be prepared for that. And they have an extremely talented runner and Walker back there. And so, we got to have our antennas up and make sure we're not just focused on the pass game. They could easily just hand it off to number nine back there and cause a lot of problems. But, they got talent up and down their roster on offense. And when you start looking at their wide receivers with Lockett, with DK Metcalf, of course, with Ohio State, I don't want to mess up his name, JSN, I'll just say the initials there. And then you got the running back, and then you got Fan at tight end, and you got a former first-round quarterback in Geno Smith, who's he's playing amazing, throwing the ball all over and really smart. And then you got a unique scheme, so this is a college offensive coordinator that had a bunch of success in college, almost won the national championship last year with Mike Penix as his quarterback. And they were, setting records in college the last couple of years. And now he's brought that offense to the National Football League, and you can see what it's doing. It's shattering records in the pass game. I know they're on a little lull right now in terms of wins and losses, so I think they've had an extra time to prepare for. So I'm sure they're going to try to bounce that up a little bit with a run pass. But this is a high flying offense that we have to be, on our the screws and nails of everything to make sure they don't score a lot of points.
Coach, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Falcons.
Jimmy Lake there, Falcons defensive coordinator, talking about getting ready for the Seahawks on Sunday afternoon. Good point, too. Something we knew and maybe brought up earlier in the week but hadn't mentioned today. A little mini-bye for them, too, coming off that Thursday night game against San Francisco. So, yeah. Also, kind of a clash, too, because Ryan Grubb, their offensive coordinator, was Penix's coordinator at Washington. So, they were together. Obviously, Jimmy Lake was the head coach there before they got there. So, just a lot of Washington.
Yeah,
a lot of Huskies.
I'm sure that Michael, I know, leave your quarterback room real quick.
Yeah.
Come up here.
Tell us something. Tell us about his scheme. Yeah.
Tell us, what is this code word here?
But, like, really, though, right? Like, you probably get Penix in there for some of that stuff this week.
No doubt.
Yeah, because, again, Penix was the quarterback for the Seahawks offensive coordinator's offense last year at the University of Washington.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
That's great. Fun little wrinkle. Good point by Jimmy. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick's going to join us at 1:20 as well. We'll get to an AMA at 1:40. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.